Hey, it's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and Kyle Kinane got together each week to ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, and other mysteries of the universe. Or at least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also ran a Patreon page that offered up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully someday soon we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster, but until then, enjoy a blast from the past from your old pals Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening. And we're rolling. There it is.
That third time's a charm.
There it is. What is up, dude?
Man, just out there being a bad boy, you know?
Yeah? Did you get radical today?
Yeah, I was out being I was riding my bikes, getting the foot back. Crashed about 10 seconds into the ride.
Oh, no.
That's always a great feeling. Like, let's see what we got left. You know, let's see what skills hung over. Oh, none at all. Well, how about that? I just fell. But it's good. You get it out of the way.
Yeah. Did you hurt yourself at all?
No. It's all nice, soft dirt where I fell.
Okay. We're right on,
just
man.
Just something to keep you going. And then went and shot that dang old gun.
Oh, okay.
Down at the pile of dirt, you know.
How'd that feel?
It was good. I was getting there. I figured, okay, I got a question for somebody that knows firearms. Shooting, like, you figure out what your dominant eye is. Like, your dominant eye might not be the eye that's on the same side that you're holding a gun with, right?
Correct. Yes, I had an issue with that when I first started shooting guns. I was a terrible shot, and because I thought my dominant eye was my right eye, and come to find out, my dominant eye is my left eye, so I switched it up, and then I got good.
That's what I did. As soon as I was like, oh, let me like close my right eye and use my left eye, but I still hold the gun with my right hand, then I started hitting the stuff I was aiming at.
There you go.
So, but yeah, I guess I gotta clean this thing, huh? What do? Just you put it in the dishwasher?
Yeah, put it a little bubble bath. That'll
work. You know, just scrub it down. No, I gotta get in there with a little... whatever muzzle thing. I don't know. I gotta figure out. I gotta learn the maintenance of this thing.
Yeah, it's not that complicated. Those Glocks are purposely built to withstand a beating. So as long as you clean it, it depends on how often you shoot it. But clean it every now and then. Break it down. You got a gun cleaning kit?
No, I gotta buy one of those.
Okay.
But it's funny, you know, I'm going to rural Oregon on some BLM land to shoot, and it's like, you don't know who's going to be out there. And I know I look like one of the, like a regular out there with how I look. Although you wonder who you're going to meet out in the middle of nowhere at some rock pit. And we pull up there and it was just like, it was three armed to the teeth black dudes. And it was like, oh, thank God.
It's like, that's awesome.
That's, oh, good. Oh, thank God you guys are here. Because you never know what kind of, like, Craig is it. When we're there, like, there's also four-wheel trailers, and there's just some, like, teenager hanging to the top of some Jeep Cherokee going over four-wheel. They're like, all right, yeah, just crazy hillbillies. And it was nice to see, like, a young black guy and a T-shirt that said equality on it in, like, rainbow colors, and they just had... so many AR-15s. I was like,
oh, man.
Yes, all right. There is I don't want to assume what side y'all are on, but I think it's the one that I'm on too.
Yeah.
Thank God.
That's awesome. That warms my heart. There's a group. I don't know if I should call them a militia. I don't know if they want to be known as a militia, but there's a group based out of Atlanta called the Not Fucking Around Crew. And I mean, I guess militia is the right word, but yeah, just a group of black citizens who are taking up arms. And I think they marched a few times recently. I think they marched in Atlanta. They marched somewhere else. But yeah, the Not Fucking Around Crew, man. I like to see that.
Yeah. Even I love it how, out, baby.
And we won't get off on politics too much, but I love how this narrative now that the far right has for years spun that, you know, anybody on the left is just a pussy. Hey, cuck. Hey, pussy. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, we have guns too. And just because I'm progressive doesn't necessarily mean I'm a pussy.
No, we just don't take pictures with them.
Yeah.
We don't feel need to pose in front of a Toby Keith's Barn and Grill with them.
Yeah, I don't need to go into McDonald's with my fucking AR-15.
Yeah. So that was nice to see.
That is nice.
But yeah, this is the Q&A episode that we started yesterday.
Yeah.
And that one, it just got away from us.
You know, you gotta see where it takes you, Kyle.
We had a good old time. We figured let's share this good time with everybody. Let people know what they're missing out on.
Mm-hmm. Hey, losers, look what you're not paying $4 a month for.
Yeah, check it out, nerds.
Right on, dude. Hey, I got 2 out of 3 of my homework assignments done.
Oh, what did I tell you to do?
Told me to eat a burrito, listen to 40 Ounces of Freedom,
and
watch
That's what I wanted
Go.
You to do.
The burrito was the easiest. About that. Yeah, I took care of the burrito.
Did you get extra credit on the burrito?
Yeah. I listened to the entire 40 Ounces of Freedom. Is it 40 Ounces of Freedom or to Freedom?
40 Ounce to Freedom. Like you'd drink a 40 Ounce and then you'd be free.
Oh, gotcha. There you go. I got to admit, dude, I got to say, although every song sounded the same, it was a very enjoyable listen. In particular, right. I appreciate their use of samples. I'm a big fan of a well-placed soundbite or movie clip. A lot of samples, a lot of soundbites. But, yeah, man, not nearly as stupid as I anticipated.
No, it's got a good DIY. We snuck into a studio when we could to try and put this thing together ourselves. And it's a good, it's a party album, but then like, oh, I don't have to be around people who like this, and I can like it for how I want to like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did that, man.
I'll get to the, to go pretty soon, but I didn't have to. I could not pull myself away from my horror movie marathon that I've been on.
No, I understand
but,
that.
But yeah,
we got 1 day left. It's Halloween Eve.
Yeah. I'm really now, I'm like kind of not panicked, but I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself to like make sure that today and tomorrow I kind of peak. I watch the best, the cream of the crop of the horror movies. So,
oh, what have you ramped up to? What's
A few that I've intentionally saved for the holiday is the original Halloween. I've seen that a lot, but I haven't seen it in a couple of years. But I'm probably going to watch that, save that for tomorrow, Halloween day or Halloween evening. But the original Halloween, probably the original Frankenstein, the 1931 Boris Karloff version. Never seen hardly any of those old Universal classic monster movies, that or Wolfman or The Mummy or Dracula. I haven't seen hardly any of those. So Frankenstein seems the most up my alley. I just something about Frankenstein I've always liked. So yeah, and then probably going to watch. I was doing some research on the best Friday the 13th movies. I can't remember what I've seen. There's so many, you know.
Told
you can't
Friday the 13th. Yeah. 10. We said we were told is the best and worst.
Best and the worst. I read several reviews that point towards number 6 being one of the most entertaining. So tomorrow I'm probably going to watch, in no particular order, I'm going to watch Frankenstein, Halloween, and Friday the 13th, Part 6. So,
okay. What was 6? What happened in 6?
I don't know. I don't remember seeing that one, but I've read a few.
Is that the one? Is that the one whoever kills Jason becomes Jason?
No idea. I did watch the remake today, the 2009 remake. Pretty good. Like, pretty fun, you know?
I think Derek Mears is the Jason in that. It was a dude I met from doing like comedy shorts. Yeah, fun dude.
Oh, really?
Who happens to, like, he's like a pirate in Pirates of the Caribbean. He's Jason. He's like just a big, giant dude with alopecia. So he plays like these monsters, but he's just a super sweet guy.
Good for him. So, yeah, man. Just hanging out, man. Having a good over here.
That's all we got to do, dude.
Yeah, man. I'm getting good at it.
Hang out with some of these questions.
Yeah, I'm getting good at it.
You're finally getting good at hanging out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been practicing a lot.
All right, well, I want to get into it. We got, how do we want to
get
going on?
Grip it and rip it, baby. Grip it and rip it. I got one for you. Scott Hummel. Can animals be possessed by an unworldly spirit, be it kind or malevolent? Did I pronounce that right? Malevolent?
Malevolent. I never know.
Malevolent. Duh. That's one of those words where I've heard it pronounced several times, but then when I see it in print, I'm like, I've never heard of that word. Malevolent.
You're getting there. You're getting there, buddy. It's all right.
I'm not good with words.
Malevolent? Could they be? I think they could be possessed.
I was talking to Katie about this the other day. Animals or pets, they're definitely in tune to something, right? I feel like cats and dogs sometimes see things that we don't see or sense things that we don't sense.
People see ghosts, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
That's one of the folklore things I heard. If a cat's staring at something, if you get behind it and look between its ears, you can see the ghost it's staring at.
So, yeah, man. Could one be possessed? I mean, why not?
I mean, I don't know. But you got to believe in regular possession already, then. You got to believe that a person could be possessed. Can an animal have mental illness? I think that's the question.
Ooh, how would you know?
I don't know. You know that dogs can have anxiety. They have separation anxiety. I think they can have a little bit of like OCD. I think animals can have that.
Okay.
Or a little weird neuroses. If you think about how people might treat an animal. And then it's got those issues later in life, you know. Just like a person.
I guess I was thinking more of the premise of how would you know if an animal had like a mental deficiency,
because they're not cool. Like my neighbor's dog is not cool.
No, what's wrong with
it? It just barks at nothing. It's just outside, and it's I wish somebody would hang out with me. Bark, you know.
Man, it's that great Brian Regan joke. Just about all of his premises are fairly pedestrian, but he's so good with them. But just about how his neighbor's dog is always barking at 2 o'clock in the morning. He's like, what if a person did that? Walk out on your back deck. Hey, 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 Bob, what the hell's the matter with you? I don't know. Hey.
Ahmed Barucha has a great joke about like hearing all these birds just going off in the morning. And apparently he called like some nature society or like Audubon Society. Like, oh, yeah, it's this type of bird, and that's them encouraging their young to fly. It's like, so that's all they're doing all morning. It's like, fly, 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 fly. Screaming at their kids.
God damn, that's funny.
So I don't know. I think they could. I'll say this. Ariel Martin said, hey, guys, longtime listener, first time caller. Do either of you believe in ghosts, and would you be willing to share a personal experience with a spooktacular? You're not a long enough time listener because we've covered this, Ariel. I will encourage you to visit our earlier episodes. We both talked about our supernatural encounters, right?
Yeah. I have
seen stuff at Waverly Sanitarium and at Bobby Mackey's Music World.
Yeah, man. That was creepy, that story. In the basement there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the same place where the ball rolled in a way that it's not supposed to roll?
Yeah, kind of rolled around and came back to me on the floor. Like kind of went uphill a little bit to come back to my feet. Yeah, I think that was like we covered that early in earliest episodes. But Ariel, I appreciate your question. We have covered these things. We both believe in an idea of ghosts, I think is what it is. Mm-hmm.
Dude, I've got something new to report. Didn't happen to me directly, but I just now realized I've known Katie for 8 years, and she withheld this information till last week. When she was a little girl, her dad built a house on a piece of land in Corona, California. And apparently, the old cliche of Indian burial ground or something to do with some Native American land, it was either right there on that lot or nearby. But Katie claims, and I don't know why I say claims, I believe her, but she saw the same little Native American girl ghost about 20 times over the course of several years during her childhood.
Really?
The same ghost. She said she's seen it. She'd see it 4 or 5 times a year, every few months, in the living room of their house. This little, like, 10-year-old Native American girl in old-school Native American garb. And clear as day. Not translucent, not transparent, whatever. Just, there's a little girl in the house. And eventually, it became so commonplace for her to see it that she just became at ease with it. It's like, oh, there's that little ghost girl again. But she says she's seen this thing, like, 20 times. And then she never told me that until a couple weeks ago.
Just used to the ghost. Maybe she's because her other place was haunted too.
Yeah. Yeah. She saw a ghost there. Like a 17, 18 year old boy looked straight out of the 70s, just sitting in a chair.
Cool just, 70s ghost.
And she said super that he was very good vibes. Like she didn't sense anything. She didn't feel threatened or scared. Just a teenage boy. He had like a 70s style, like Dutch boy bowl cut haircut and like bell bottoms or something, and just sitting there. So I knew about that story, but she never told me the Native American girl story. So crazy.
So Sawan Talwar asked, aside from razors and candy, what other urban legends did you hear growing up? Ooh.
One urban legend I heard a lot was people driving around intentionally with their brights on. And
oh, then yeah.
If you flashed them to let them know, then they would follow you and kill you.
Heard that Everything one. Was like a gang initiation.
Mm-hmm.
Everything somebody could come up with was a gang initiation. I had, I remember like the Bayer aspirin scare, because that was kind of around. I think that was the Chicago suburb. I'm going to look it up.
I
think
that
was Chicago suburbs. That was, let me see. I'll look it up. Oh, the Tylenol murders. That was one of Chicago Tylenol murders. That's a good band name. Somebody had like, yeah, they put cyanide in some of the Tylenol things. That's why like there's the safety packages on the lids. Like when you open up medicines, like if this seal is broken, don't eat it.
Huh.
That stemmed from this kind of stuff. Like this stuff. And so, yeah, what was it? They were, no one was ever here. No suspect was ever charged or convicted of the poisonings. One guy in New York was convicted of extortion for sending a letter and taking responsibility for the deaths and wanted $1 million to stop it, but they didn't have evidence. I thought there was something. Yeah, there's Elk Grove Village, was like 2 towns over from me. They died. It was cyanide and the aspirin. And then, oh, yeah, oh, this was all right by my house. This was crazy. All right, Elk Grove Village, Arlington Heights, Lyle, Elmhurst, Winfield. Like, this is DuPage County. These are all, like, the next town or the town over from me.
Was this in the 80s or 90s?
Yeah, yeah. This was 82, it looks like, all this stuff happened.
Damn.
Yeah, so that was, so everybody freaked out. They were taking all the Tylenol off the shelves and... So that was not necessarily an urban legend, but it was a a creepy thing that was going on.
And I wonder if there's any truth to the razor blade and the apple thing. Or is that based off of a real life event that happened, or is that just a creative urban legend?
I mean, think about how like weird shit gets spread through Facebook. It usually gets spread through gabbing neighbors, you know, but Halloween, yeah. Oh, we're letting our kids go out alone And you know, there's always just a there's sickos out there. There's always sickos. You always got to be afraid of the sicko. One sicko can ruin everything. Because one sicko did one thing once, and then you got to freak out about it.
Look at this sicko.
We still take our shoes off at the airport.
Yeah. Yeah.
You still take your shoes off at the airport.
Yep.
So, I don't know about that. What do we got here?
What do we got? Sack Love. That's a great handle. Ever do shrooms on Hallows Eve? We did shrooms together on Hallows Eve.
Oh, yeah, out in the desert.
That was fun. That was 5 years ago.
Was it 5 years?
Yep. Because I was listening to the the 2015 World Series in Spanish while I was high on
that's what it was. Yeah, you were inside listening to Spanish baseball. I was out letting scorpions crawl up my ass or whatever I was doing out in the driveway. Yeah, we were just out in Joshua Tree. Man, that is – cannot be stressed enough. If you're doing mushrooms, be in nature. So Bill Hicks told everybody, and it should be just reinforced. It's the way to really fly. Find a park, do something. Don't do it in an apartment. Even in a yard, it's like, oh, I see a fence. It bums me out.
I did it in my apartment one time, and it sucked.
It's just kind of like you're kind of just wasting the potential, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I tell you about the time I went and just stood in the park for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. I played.
But even that, big old park. You got a big old park over there that was in Burbank or wherever. Yeah.
I pantomimed a couple of innings of a baseball game out on the baseball field. That was fun. And then the rest of the time, I just stood there. Eventually, I had some people concerned. I had to move around a little bit.
It's one of those like, oh, I didn't realize he's been staring at this one thing for 2 hours. Nobody else knows the journey I've gone through in my thoughts. And I'm not about to explain it to him because it's not going to make any sense.
Fucking weirdo.
Did we talk about this yesterday? Carl Fisher said, what were your slutty outfits for Halloween?
We asked the question. I don't remember answering other than like slutty chili cook or yes, slutty fry cook. Just me with a really too small wife beater on with ketchup stains.
Tiny apron with your dick out.
Oh yeah, a little tiny apron. Just my franken beans dangling. Oh man, that's funny.
Christmas ornament hanging out down there.
Seeing
somebody who still goes for the slutty costume is like, it's weird how you could take something that's supposed to be sexy and look like the most boring person in the room.
Yeah.
Like immediately, like if that was your choice for Halloween, like good luck with your life. You've just indicated to me, I don't need to know you in this plane of existence at all. Good. I wish you the best of luck. No ill will towards you, but it's not nowadays and we're doing it. I want to know who's at home. Like what woman is at home on this quarantine Halloween just disappointed. They're not going to get to be.
Yeah.
Slutty Ruth Bader Ginsburg or something.
Oh yeah. No, thanks. Go stand over there. Get away from me. Slutty Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I don't mean to speak ill of RBG.
That would be progressive Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
That's true. But she and Larry King were starting to look a lot alike here recently.
You are not incorrect. Oh.
He's an odd-looking fella.
I just see that as like a funny scene in a movie. Like, who are you, slutty Larry King? You're like, I'm Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, man. You know who else is morphing into the same person? Joe Bob Briggs and Norm MacDonald. They're starting to look like twin brothers.
Oh, okay.
If you look at them.
I thought James Spader was absolutely John Lithgow for a while.
There was you said that show, a couple weeks ago. And yeah, I forgot how funny of an image that is.
That show, The Blacklist, and he's on there. I'm like, man, Lithgow looks good for his age. Like, that's James Spader. Like, oh, damn.
Man, did you know John Lithgow, when he shot Footloose, I don't know this, I don't know the exact, but I think he was pre-40. I think he was like 37, 38 when he shot. He looked like he was 55. Poor guy. Well, that, and he's not nearly as bad as old Wilford Brimley. I'm sure you've seen those memes popping around where I guess he was 50 in Cocoon.
And really?
Yeah, and then whenever like Paul Rudd turned 50 recently, they were like, they showed him side by side, like these two guys are the same age. Yeah.
Well, the technology's come along. I mean, I could easily look 60 years old if I wanted to, the way I'm going.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. And yeah, I don't know what I'm supposed to do about that. Am I supposed to be wearing creams and stuff? Should
you
I
don't have
a
skin? Do you not have any skincare regimen?
Nothing. No, I wash my face in the shower with that Dr. Bronner's. I figure that's all natural. I can't go wrong with that. And that's it. No, what else am I supposed to do?
The guy who runs that, there was the doctor, an original Dr. Brown. Now his son runs it, and he's pushing for the legalization of mushrooms real hard.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, everything about that soap. Good soap. You're on the right side of things. I root for Dr. Bronner.
Do you have a skincare regimen?
I wash my face. I got the Bronner's or some variation thereof. Then I usually have like a face wash that I use outside of the Bronner's thing. And then I'll put a moisturizer on there.
Moisturizer. That's what I should be doing.
Also, yeah, and then I saw a picture of myself from a live show. I put that one on Instagram where I look these Jabba the Hutt eyes. I don't know if I was dehydrated or what, and Rachel got me like a little eye cream too. Keep the bags tight.
Yeah,
keep the bags tight.
Got some luggage under there.
Yeah, like I'm not trying to get fancy about it, but if there's just such minimal effort to maybe not look like dog shit, because it's not like I'm getting the best sleep every night. It's not like I'm getting a sober eight hours of sleep every night.
Yeah.
So if there's a little bit of this or that I could do here and there, why not, you know?
Yeah, I guess I should look into that. I just
not trying to win any beauty pageants, but I'd like to just not look 20 years older than my actual age.
For a while, I was doing pretty well. Like when I was 35, I looked 28, and I used to get a lot of like, "Oh, how old are you? No way!" But I think that's caught up to me. I think I look every bit of my age now.
It's like you can hold it off for long enough, and then everything you held off just catches up even quicker.
I think the one thing I've got going for me, maybe hopefully not the one thing, but I've never been a smoker, so I feel like that helps a little bit to not have
Yeah.
That. Well, I never smoked tobacco.
Smoker. No. You had your head in a barbecue for the last 30 years, but at least your lungs don't look like it.
But I mean, smokers, that does something to your appearance, right? That does something to your skin.
You got to get saddle cream for your face at this point. Yeah, but still ask, what's your guys' take on spontaneous human combustion?
I'm all for it.
It is a pretty fascinating idea.
Talk about a way to go.
Incredibly rare, but
I wouldn't mind going that way. What happened to Dave? He exploded.
But think about all the things that people can worry about, and if you're already prone to worrying, and then you learn about spontaneous human combustion, you just walk around. I want to read about how this happens. Alcohol consumption and proximity to sources of ignition. All right, so that's where we're
likely. I told you when I was a kid, I thought that it was possible for people to literally just up and disappear, spontaneous combustion style. Like, yeah. Because my mom, when she was, my parents were really hammering home the kids are getting kidnapped in the mid 80s. My mom just kept saying, so and so just disappeared. And like, she kept emphasizing, I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, she just disappeared. And like, so I just thought, oh shit, like, you could be walking through the park, something happens, boom, you vanish into thin air. Like, literally, not into someone's van, but just you disappear. So that worried me for a while. That's something I used to stress over.
Dude, I wish I didn't read about this. So it's not necessarily that a fire just starts inside of you. But they're saying, like, okay, say you have cigarettes. Here, this is according to Wikipedia. Cigarettes are also seen as often seen as a source of the fire, the improper disposal, blah, blah, blah. Natural causes such as heart attacks may lead to the victim dying, subsequently dropping the cigarette, after which a period of smoldering can ignite the victim's clothes. And they're saying, like, if clothes are burning enough like that, your fat is flammable. Like, say, like, alcoholism or low-carb dieting produces acetone, which is highly flammable. So basically, it's not so much like that you just explode from the inside out. It's that you have...
Your body's a fire hazard.
Yeah, your body is the fuel. And so there's an external flame that, like, causes it. I don't know, man. It seems like there's a lot more to it than just like, oh, well, maybe you just burst into flame. So, yeah, but still, that's...
I mean, that'd be
it
cool.
Seems more like you just burnt yourself alive. So I wouldn't call it spontaneous.
Yeah, I mean, that's boring. I don't want a practical answer to that.
No, I love a planned out human combustion. I don't want spontaneous.
Mm-mm.
I'm going to really have it marked on the calendar.
Nicholas Fierro, do you think it's itchy being a werewolf? No. The same reason when people always, I don't know if you get a lot of this, Kyle, about your beard, but like, does it itch? No. No, I'm used to it by now. Doesn't itch.
You're not used to it if you're a werewolf.
Well, you're not used to it this week, but if you're a seasoned werewolf, this ain't your first rodeo. I was trying to do some wordplay there. I didn't.
How is that going
to
work?
I was going to try to combine werewolf and rodeo, but my tongue's not that limber.
Well, were rodeo? Does that mean it's just a rodeo that turns into a real crazy rodeo at night?
You gotta lasso a werewolf and tie its legs together. The fucking rodeo is so goddamn bizarre. I understand that these are techniques that cowboys used to do or still do, but like, it's just weird that people gather to go watch it in a competition. I'm doing bits now. I'm sorry. I mean, it's not
working on bits. Hey, man, it's a comedy podcast. It's a comedy podcast, Dave. You could do bits. Although I think about like a werewolf jumping into the ring at a rodeo.
Jesus. Oh, like a bull. Like when the bull kicks off the cowboy and then he just charging around pissed off. Imagine a werewolf.
The werewolf just eats the matador and then the bull is like a pal with the werewolf. That's one of those weird, like you think about cultural bullfighting, man.
That's rough.
It's wild that that's a thing that's still going on. Like, how much do you have to excuse a culture? Like, well, it's a culture, and eventually be like, yeah, actually, maybe don't do this anymore. Like, anytime somebody gets killed at the running of the bulls, I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so great. I'm glad that happens.
Mm-hmm. That's dumb. Because
who in this day and age is going to be like, oh, what a courageous death. They died at the running of the bulls, and it's just going to be some... fucking dipshit from like Cal State Fresno or something.
Don't fuck with animals. Like, Why would you just fuck with a beast? Like, ha ha, come get me, idiot. And he's like, okay.
I'd like to see an ocean rodeo. I'd like to see somebody do that with a shark.
Oh.
Like a scuba diver with a cape. Shark, that's what, like, if I still see it on TV, that's what still creeps me out, is when people are swimming with sharks. Because you have no mobility in the ocean.
No.
You have no dexterity. You know, if a fish is like, I'm going to eat you, you're like, that's it, you're done. You're not getting away from a thing in the ocean.
That is crazy.
People underestimate all those, like, ocean movies from the horror genre, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The one I didn't see, which I saw the, what's the one where, like, they're forgotten, they're scuba divers and they got left.
Open Water?
You know what I'm talking? Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. That one scared the shit out of me. Just that whole, just the premise alone is
That's a different kind phobia. Of creep out. Yeah, you're just stuck left in the ocean. Feeling something touch your feet. And then
that's crazy. Like the people then, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, in the other movie was the one, I don't know, Blake Lively, I think her name is, where she's like a surfer and she gets stranded on a rock. And then a shark knows she's on the rock. So a shark is just swimming around this rock and she can't get to shore.
Really? That sounds pretty good.
I got to watch that one.
Do you remember the name? Is that 47 Meters Down or something? Is that the name of that one?
No, isn't that the one with Hannah Montana? Boy, we should really... Have we ever talked about anything with any accuracy whatsoever? It's 47 meters down.
The most uninformed duo.
Where'd you go? There you are.
There you are.
47 meters. Mandy Moore.
Mandy Moore. Anna Montana.
So, but Miley Cyrus. I was like, you know, like in the parking lot of the ballpark on that one.
Yeah. No, he's close. Oh, man.
Shark cage. God damn. Shark cage, I kind of underwater spelunking. Oh, that was a good one. So I think somebody recommended on this show, the one where they're like going to the underwater caves.
Oh, really?
Fuck, what was that movie? I'm worried about my memory, man.
Yeah. It happens.
The Descent.
The Descent, I saw that, yes.
And there's humanoid creatures under there. And then I just read something that the creator intended them to be like, they were human beings that survived. And so that's why they are how they are. They've just lived in the caves for so long. They don't have the darkness, so they don't see anymore with their eyes. They like, that was a pretty good one. That was a pretty good one for a scary.
Yeah, I got to put that one on my list.
Original idea. Yeah, throw that one in there if you got time.
I haven't seen that in a while. The Descent. Okay. Okay. Maria's just checking in, says one of my favorite creepy horror movies, The Orphanage. I'm not familiar with that, but sounds good. You know, what a great backdrop for a creepy movie, The Orphanage. Yeah. Also, Reese's Cups are my favorite. Runner-up, Crunch Bar, Starburst, Milky Way, and Twix. Okay, strong. And instead of getting a treat, were you ever just tricked during trick-or-treating? That's a good question. Was I ever? No, I think the trick is just a formality at this point, right?
Nobody ever tricked. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't trick me. Just give me some fucking candy.
Well, I'll double on that with Andaru Martin. Andaru Martin says, "Happy Spooktober, Boogie Boys. Can you rank your top three and bottom three Halloween candies?" Which I think we spoke about a bit yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Learned you're a Kit Kat man.
Yeah, Kit Kat's number one. Peanut M&M number two. And just to mix it up and, like I said, go to the other side of the umbrella there, I'll go fruity, Starburst. So that's my top three. Kit Kat, Peanut M&M, and Starburst. Bottom three, any of that old just black and orange wax bullshit, you know, that doesn't even have
dad candies.
Just, yeah, that's dad candy. And candy corn. I don't know who thought that was a good idea.
Rachel's over here eating that stuff. She bought it for herself.
I don't get that at all.
I might have to break up with her.
And then
she bought it for herself. I'll eat candy corn because it's around. She bought it for herself.
Bit of honey was a big waste of my fucking time. Like, what are
that's
you? What is
adult,
this?
That's just an adult candy. Yeah, bit of honey. This. Bit of honey. A sip of black coffee.
Yeah, no thanks.
I just had a bit of honey the other day. Well, that's what we were talking about that yesterday. About payday bars being like,
yeah,
it's what you eat when you're on break, when you're in between cases at the courthouse. You ever fuck with a Charleston Chew? What do you think about Charleston Chew?
Unfamiliar. I've heard of it. I don't think I've ever enjoyed one. What is it? Taffy? Is it like
it's it's almost like a, what would you call it? It's not quite a nougat. It's like a marshmallow,
huh?
But like hard, like the consistency of taffy, but more like a vanilla. You get vanilla, strawberry, chocolate, Charleston Chew. I think parents would buy them for their kids if they didn't want to get dental work done, because you could get a tooth out with it.
Yeah.
You could bite it and get a tooth out real easy. Or you'd freeze it. And that was kind of like one of the only ways to consume it was like breaking it into shards like meth.
like peanut brittle or something?
Yeah.
That's another one, man, in terms of dental work. Like, you're asking a lot to get through some peanut brittle.
I'll tell you, Butterfinger can take a hike. I'll tell you that.
You don't like the Butterfinger?
I feel like, you know what, right now, because I think it probably is an adult candy, I would eat one now and probably enjoy it. But as a kid, I think I had one once, and I was so appalled by it, I think I threw up
out of
disgust. I think, because, like we were saying yesterday, like, you know, there's candy that comes in and changes the game. They did it for the worse.
Oh, okay.
For the bad. Because I was like, you know, like, all right, I'm biting in, it's chocolate. On the outside, it's going to be nuts. It's going to be nougat. It's going to be caramel. Something going on inside that I'm familiar with. And then this orange dust
happened. It's like slate or some sort of geological thing.
Yeah, like some kind of peanut butter flagstone broke apart in my mouth. Like, this is horrible, man.
I have mixed emotions about the Butterfinger. I agree with you totally in terms of you know, the logistics behind it. Like, it's gonna, you gotta clear your schedule for a few minutes if you're gonna eat one, just because it's chaos with what it leaves behind, as far as the texture. But I like the flavor. Whatever weird fucking space ice cream peanut butter thing they're going for there, I like the flavor. I like that first bite. I like that first bite. It always feels fresh. For some reason, it feels fresher than your average candy bar. Like, oh, it's a new one.
A Butterfinger feels fresher?
Yeah. It's that crispy, just
dog,
that.
Dog, you're crazy.
That dog. First bite, how crispy it is, and the flavor I like. But, yeah, it's a fucking, it's a chore to get through one.
Yeah, it's like a Nature Valley bar.
Yeah. Fucking, like eating particle board.
Trying to think of what, I mean, we covered a lot yesterday. I was trying to think if there's any other oddball candies. I love the Willy Wonka line. I love Runts. Love Everlasting Gobstoppers.
Yeah.
My buddy Greg was working at the Willy Wonka packaging plant for a summer job once when we were in a band. He would just come back with all these candy, like my guitar case was just filled with candy.
Huh.
All our guitar cases were filled with candy. It was great.
That sounds like a fun band.
Oh, time for
band.
Practice? Yeah, I guess I'll have a little bit of, I guess I'll have some Runts.
You walk it into a gig, you got your guitars out, you're carrying that in your left hand, you got your case filled with candy in your right hand.
Trying to look like a rock and roll bad boy and all these sweets are tumbling out of my guitar case. You know what deserves credit in this season? There's a good old-fashioned caramel apple.
Dude, big fan. Again, same problem, the dental dangers with it, but
You got to put it through the apple slicer.
What do you mean?
I never try to eat that off the stick. I'm not a monster.
I never thought to do that. I thought that was part of the appeal.
No, it's a fucking disaster. Because then all you're doing is you're just horse gumming the caramel off, and then you just got a sticky bruised apple left over. That's not appealing.
Like homemade, man. If ever I'm in like a little mountain resort town, you know, with a lot of antique stores and fudge shops, and I come across a homemade, freshly made fucking candied apple, get the fuck out of here.
Candied apple or just saltwater taffy. Holy shit.
Yeah, man.
People can't push saltwater taffy on you enough. Saltwater taffy in the science experiment rock candy.
Mm.
Which I don't mind a stick of that. That's fine.
Oh, I'm going to throw a curveball at you here. I just thought of this.
Pitch it.
One of the most coveted scores, one of the most coveted candy scores that I could ever get my hands on when I was a young boy is a pack of Big League Chew. That was a get.
Oh, yeah.
That felt like a big ticket item. It's like, oh, you got a candy bar? Like, not knowing anything about finances, I always just assume, well, this costs like $38, right? This is like a $40 candy. This is a whole pouch of Big League Chew.
It was up to you to regulate how much you'd consume, which meant all of it.
Yes, that's part of it. That's why. Dude. I never thought of that, but that was the first candy that I was ever given that came with some responsibility. Like, you know, this is clearly too much to enjoy in one setting.
Parcel this. Chew this much as you would tobacco, young child. You wouldn't put the whole pouch of tobacco in your mouth, would you? Well, I guess we'll find out in a couple years.
But That was like the highlight of my week. If ever I got a hold of a pouch of Big League, like, that was a big deal. And, man, the grape, I remember they had grape, which was awesome. The original was awesome. I think maybe there was a watermelon. I feel like there was like a neon green thing going on.
I remember that. Oh, I'm going to eat Nerds.
Fucking Nerds.
Nerds.
That was always fun because you had the dual pack.
Two flavored pack of cherry and Coke, cherry Coke flavored ones.
Oh, dude.
I might get some Nerds tonight. I'm going to go to the store and buy Nerds for myself right now.
Me too. I think so. Do you remember, you know what, one of my other most favorite things as a kid was, I can't remember the brand. I can't remember if it was Hubba Bubba or Bubblicious or whatever, but somebody had blueberry bubblegum. And that was, and it was like the McRib. It was seasonal, I think. It was always for a limited. It's always funny for, but it was always a big deal if I got a hold of some blueberry bubble gum.
Blueberry gum. A lot of weed just came up when I was looking for it. It is definitely a strain of, blueberry gum is a strain of marijuana. I cannot find anything about actual gum.
Yeah.
Blueberry Hubba Bubba.
Hubba Bubba. I don't know why that was. Because it was like, I appreciated them thinking outside the box. Everybody had regular and grape and orange, but fucking blueberry. By the way, very underrated dessert fruit in terms of blueberry pie, blueberry Danish. Get the fuck out of here. That is a good
time. I don't think it's underrated. I think blueberry muffin's a go-to muffin if you're getting muffin with a fruit in it.
Muffin, yes. But in terms of a dessert, of like, nobody talks about blueberry pie. Blueberry pie a la mode with a little caramel sauce.
Blueberry cheesecake.
Get the fuck. Blueberry cheesecake. Anytime I can get a Danish or a bear claw that's got like a cream cheese blueberry thing going on, dude, that is, my hat's off to the blueberry.
I don't know, man. I don't think it's underrated at all. I think it's quite utilized.
I don't hear enough people talking about it.
Okay, maybe we gotta change that.
Fucking Puddin' Pops used to have some sort of blueberry and cream thing.
Fucking Puddin' Pops.
Fucking Puddin' Pops, dude. Fucking Puddin' Pops. So good. I miss that.
What do we got? Slippery Drip. I've seen lots of different cryptids that are just animals with human faces. Dogs, cats, deer, etc. Almost hit a deer on the bike trail today. What do y'all think are the scariest human-faced animal you can encounter? What's the scariest one? I think a fish. I think something underwater with a human face. Ooh.
Ooh.
Octopus with, like, it's just a head, but then the legs are out from it. Well, that's just squidbillies, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just described squidbillies.
There was something that popped up a year or two ago on Coast to Coast website or something about a fish with a human face, and it did kind of look like a human face.
I heard about that. I'm going to look that up right now.
Yeah. I don't know what was going on there. Yeah, fish with a human face. Dude, what if
this thing is kind of fucked up looking?
What if like a hippo? What if it was hippo and just had my stupid face on it? A hippo with a human face would really creep me out.
It's like an unfinished Minotaur.
Yeah.
Or centaur, rather. Isn't centaur a horse body?
Oh, my God.
Who was it? Wasn't that the question here that somebody asked us? We're like, what if a centaur fucked a mermaid and their kid just got both human parts?
Dude, mermaids. Like, that's a cryptid I hope is
dude,
real.
Dude, mermaids.
Fucking mermaids, dude.
You ever heard of them shits?
That's something we don't dig deep enough in general on this podcast, but we may do like a whole month of just ocean stuff, water stuff. Like there's no telling what's going on down there.
Well, I mean, honestly, if you did want to hide from the human race, if you were an alien or something, you want to come here but needed a place to hide, bottom of the ocean, of course.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's exactly how I feel about disposing of a body. I've always thought, you know, hopefully I never have to execute the plan, but if I ever have to get rid of a body, I'm going way out in the ocean.
My buddy Dylan, who I ride bikes with, he's like, yeah, you ever hear? As one of my bike buddies. It's like, oh, yeah. He saw it on some crime show. Like, yeah, if you want to put somebody... If you want to bury somebody at sea, you got to like wrap them in chicken wire. Because when they're out in the water, like the organs will still expand and then the body will float. So if you wrap them in chicken wire, the body will just like kind of burst into little fish food bits.
How about that? Happy Halloween.
I don't want to be in a situation where I need to know that.
Yeah. Well, you don't know. You never know.
I forgot a grade school friend's name because of that information.
Noah Nelson asked, Dave, best Halloween country songs. Buck Owens, Monsters Holiday comes to mind. That's the only one that comes to mind. When you're talking about traditional Halloween songs. Now, there's hundreds of murder ballads that are creepy and murderous. Off the top of my head, Johnny Cash, Delia's Gone.
What's that Rockin' Springsteen tune?
Rockin'
Nebraska? I'm going to find it. About the two kids that go out in a murder spree.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
I'm going to find it.
But yeah, I think that's the only... When I was researching for a shameless plug here, the most recent Gravy Boat, Halloween Gravy... I was trying to find some country stuff and came up short. Buck Owens' Monster Holiday is the only one I found. But, I used a little sample of Randy Travis's Digging Up Bones, you know, because I made that relevant, but that's not, you know, he's not speaking literal. That's more of a metaphor.
Murder
I'm lost trying to find this one. It's like a real rockin' tune, and the lyrics are just about a gal who met a fella and they just ran around killing people.
Hell yeah.
Catchy tune, though. I'm sure somebody's screaming at their earphones right now about me not knowing it, but we'll get used to it with this show.
I'm Jason not a Costello,
Wadlington says, watch Rockula. I will.
What's Rockula?
That's the one we talked about with Dean Cameron.
Oh, right.
Chainsaw from Back to School.
Yeah.
Dean Cameron, underrated. Punch Meat. I like that one. Punch Meat. So I think we all already know the answer to this. But which one of you would survive being stalked by a supernatural serial killer slasher? And which horror movie villain would be the coolest to hang out with and have a few beers with? Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure everybody's thinking that you're the one who's going to survive. But Dave, honestly, I see you being the guy who tries to be a hero early on.
Yeah.
And you give him a run for his money, but then you get taken out. And then all we did was lose a valuable resource, which would be your brute strength. I'm like, oh, Dave had to go be a hero and get himself killed. Now the pressure's on me to use my wits. I think that's what would happen there.
Oh, man.
No offense, Dave.
Nah, it's okay.
Although you have been hitting the treadmill, maybe, you know, you're going to have some physical fitness. Mm-hmm. And you will be able to, like, get a few swings in and then get away from the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, all the classic ones. Michael Myers, I never feared him in terms of his physical capability. Even though he's always pretty hulking, I always felt like I could take Michael Myers for some reason. Jason, always a big dude with a machete or pickaxe. That's tough to deal with. Freddy.
He's a good improviser. Jason's a good improviser.
To answer that question, Freddy would be the most interesting to hang out with because Freddy's got stories. Freddy's articulate. I don't think Michael Myers or Jason Voorhees is much in the way of conversation.
They don't talk.
Yeah.
They're mutes. Freddy's got jokes. Mm-hmm. Freddy's been in your dreams. He could talk to you about your dreams.
Yeah. And that's why, even though I will admit Freddy is on the surface scary as hell, he always scared me the least out of the big three because he was such a talker. I felt like I could maybe talk my way out of something with him. I feel like I could trick or reason with Freddy the way there's no reasoning or anything with Michael Myers or Jason. Boy.
Well, you clearly have not watched that franchise then because that approach had been taken.
Oh, really?
And failed.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were going to go like Frankenstein or something.
Mm-hmm. Be cool to hang out with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just a misunderstood. Frankenstein's basically just like the guy who's on the football team because that's expected of him, but really just wants to listen to like My Chemical Romance and wear eyeliner. Like he's a goth trapped in a jock's body, you know?
You got to write that down. That's fucking
funny.
That's all
he is.
That's fucking funny.
He's just an emotional dude.
Oh, man. Yeah, I knew guys like that. Every now and then, I knew a guy named Ian who was 6'8". Normal build, but 6'8", and zero interest in sports. And, like, just don't even ask him. No, I don't fucking play basketball. Like, he was a metalhead, and just
6'8" is just a cumbersome size.
Yeah. That's 6'8", I think, is the – that's when, like, that's holy shit level. That's, you know – yeah, it's, you know, you see a guy who's 6'4", 6'5", you know, that's cool. You know, hey, look at that tall guy. But 6'8" is like, what the fuck? Like, that's entering that what the fuck range.
Yeah, 6'8" isn't even like, oh, shoes are hard to find. 6'8" is like cars are hard to find.
Yeah. Beds.
Yeah. I don't fit on 95% of the stuff made for the human race.
I feel so bad when I see tall people in airplanes. God, that must suck.
remember Brian Posehn telling me one time, I was just there, and he's like, you know, he's a big, tall dude, and somebody's trying to lean the seat back, and they, like, try to shoot him a dirty look because the seat's not going back. He's like, it's not going to happen, man. Sorry, dude. It's just not going to happen.
Like, yeah.
And it really is that kind of – I've been both people.
Mm-hmm.
Sad, and it's sad that I've been the guy like, well, I paid for the seat and I want it to go back, so tough shit that you're like, I've been that guy, and that's not fair, you know. And everybody's been the person, like, you see a big person, it's like, well, you should have to buy two, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm just like, well, I'm a little guy, I'm not yelling about, I should only have to pay for 3/4 of this seat.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I'm glad I got the treadmill while I did, because I'm or at least was, just at the level, just at the size where I don't have any slack in my seatbelt on a plane. If I gained 20 more pounds, I'd have to get that helper belt, and that's no
good. Really?
Yeah, I'm just at the, just suck it in and clip it. There we go. Thank God that worked. All right.
Still got it, baby.
Yeah. Any bigger. And that just sucks. You know, no offense to our bigger listeners. You know, those who are suffering and struggling with that. I feel your pain. But, yeah, man. That's a problem. Or, like, really, really bless their heart, the people that got to buy two seats. God damn, that's got to suck.
I think at that point, you're not traveling very frequently.
I mean, I'm sure there's got to be business people that, you know, 400 pounds and still got to, they're salesmen or whatever.
I mean, when I was watching, when I just had cable at my old place, just keep it on, like I just left whatever garbage play, I would always wind up watching my 600-pound life.
Mm-hmm.
And you always watch these things from this element of kind of like this fascination. And it was less judgment. It was more of just like, here is a human being trying to navigate through this world that is made for
Charlie,
people our size.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, they go into a lot of it. I mean, it's very easy to criticize, but you go into a lot of like, oh, yeah, people have like, they've got mental issues. But then it's a problem. Like, you got to the show, like, oh, I'm going to get lap band surgeries. Like, you're treating symptoms, not the problem. You got to treat the mental issues of why these people are this way. But yeah, just so big, and just they have to drive. You know, have to sit in the back of someone else's van. Somebody has to drive them around. It's unfortunate, man.
Yeah, yeah, that does suck. Oh man,
now food's addictive, man. That junk food's addictive.
Ugh. Tell me about it.
I understand that. Where'd you get a burrito from last night?
Across the street. Got a place across the street. Not the best, but not bad. And it's neat that it's literally, I mean, I'm talking 75 feet.
Like, can see them right now.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to have access that close, you know.
It is good to have. Yeah, it is good to have. I'm hungry right now. Ooh, problem solved.
How, like, at your old place, how I loved that you were a 90-second walk to Gus's taco truck.
Oh, Gus's lunchbox, until they let their popularity go to their head.
Charlie, shut up, dude.
Trixie Emerson, great question coming up from Trixie Emerson. Do you think Dr. Frankenstein handpicked a crank for his monster?
I would hope so. I think that's part of the fun, no?
Was he making him to be like what did he think was going to happen if he gave Frankenstein a crank? Or is that like the little meat thermometer to see if the blood flow is really working? Like, oh, he got a boner. The pump's working. The heart's working because he got a boner.
I mean, I think if you're going to bring somebody back to life, or, you know, I know he didn't bring a person back to life. It was a collection, not a collection, a culmination of different people. Anyway, I would think you would consider that, like, because what if your experiment works and he's got a new life, he's back to life. At some point, he's going to need to get up to his old trick, so to speak, and you need to have a good crank. I hope he considered that.
But that's what I want, like. Or is that just like, let me get the basics down. Let me make sure the arms and legs work. Next, Frankenstein 2.0, we have genitals. But this one, we just need the basics. We got to see if he can grip things with his hand, you know, that kind of stuff.
This is just a rough mock-up.
Yeah, this is the first one. It's the first one out of the box is that Frankenstein. I think it's also coming with functioning Ding dong, it's like a camera on an iPhone. It wasn't the best thing when it came out. Then all of a sudden, like, oh, I guess we need cameras on all these things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that thing works. Anyway, she's also got another question. As a general question, what's the biggest bullet you guys have dodged? Mine was getting out of an abusive relationship before the pandemic really hit. Good for you, Trixie. Like a week after being single again, lockdown happened. Oh, well, that's...
Mine would probably be not going to prison for 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, that's a pretty big bullet.
Yeah, like I was told I would do. So that was nice. Also, getting out of a 20-something relationship without getting her pregnant. That's a big bullet dodged.
Dang.
Yeah.
A 20-something?
No, like in my 20s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, not a 20-year.
Did I miss something, Dave? You're in a relationship for 20-plus years? That I know.
I didn't really phrase that correctly, but... dated a psycho for 2 years who I thank God every day that I didn't impregnate. Because, ooh boy.
Yeah, that's...
I need no further connection. I need her not in my life.
Dude, I mean, just along those mistakes you're trying... I'm just glad I found comedy and stuck with comedy.
Yeah.
Because I think I very well... I wouldn't have pursued a... Well, I mean, who knows, but I don't think I would have been the guy that had the ambition to, like, really pursue a career as opposed to a job that you just get promoted at and then make a living, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? As opposed to, like, oh, I'm going to go to night school because I really want to be this thing. I'd be like, nope, got promoted, paying my bills, got promoted again, paying my bills. And I think I owe that to, like, finding comedy and being like, I want to try and do this the best that I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to ever be able to make a living doing something you're passionate about, that's high up on the list, in my opinion, of the meaning of life. It's not number one, but, like, that's up there, man. You're sustaining yourself in this crazy world doing something that you enjoy. That's important because I realize how many people – get up and go to work every day and can't fucking stand it because I've been there. And my hat's off to people that, you know, feel like they have to do that for, you know, obligations and responsibility and stuff. But good for you. But boy, I can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will if I have to. Who knows what the fuck's going to happen moving forward.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't be so loud about that just yet.
Yeah. And not shitting on those people, you know.
No.
You know. I recognize how difficult that can be, and good for you for whatever reason, if you feel like you need to keep doing that. Well, handle your business.
But keep in mind, there's always things, you can always pursue other things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. It's not an easy choice, but they're out
not
there.
Not easy, yep.
Well, what do you say? You want to wrap it up with one or two more? What are you thinking?
Sure. Yeah, let's land this plane. We're over.
I gotta go get out. I gotta go out for old Sean Jordan's birthday. We're having outdoor drinks somewhere in Portland tonight, so we gotta get out there.
Right on. Man.
There's a lot of good ones. We might have to hold on to some of these for next time, also. Let's see. Oh, what's a good one here? And Sean Devlin said, "What's the cleverest, funniest costume you remember seeing out in the wild?" I remember right after I moved to L.A., the only time I went to the West Hollywood Halloween parade, which is great. If you have the means to go, do it. I was usually not around for it after that, but it is just, you have like,
I bet that's a good one.
I mean, it's West Hollywood, so it's like, it's the Boys Town area, so it's already over the top with parties. It's LA, so you have people that can do costumes, do them well, and it's a city filled with people looking for attention, so everybody's turning it up on Halloween. But this is like a super packed, the street of Santa Monica Boulevard's closed off, and all of a sudden there's like this traffic jam full of people, and this was 2003 or four, whichever year Hurricane Katrina was.
That'd be the fall of 05.
It was 05. Okay, it was 05. So this was 05. And a dude had built, you know, like the hurricane symbol on the maps when you look at it from above? It's got the two, the, you know, it's got like the two curvy arms.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
It's the symbol for hurricane. Mm-hmm. He basically created that out of wood, and he was at the, in the middle of it. And he was just twirling, and just jam-packed street, but would just twirl as Hurricane Katrina.
Wow.
And you'd get caught up, and in the arms, he had like a webbing in it, and just had like little houses and cars and shit in it.
That's in pretty great.
And you'd get caught in it, and then he'd just spray you with water while you were stuck in the...
And that's a good was costume.
Like, oh, everybody was like, oh, damn, dude, like, it's happening now.
Yeah, I could see it being a bit insensitive, but...
But I was going to West Hollywood for Halloween. I was checking out any sort of class or, you know,
yeah,
semblance of taste. I knew what was going on there.
Damn. Coolest thing I've seen in the wild, a couple of years ago, I was back in Atlanta, maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, back in Atlanta during the Halloween weekend, and... Man, if anybody near Atlanta, if you ever get a chance to go to the Little Five Points Halloween Parade, holy shit. That neighborhood, as many of you, well, not many of you, if you know anything about Atlanta, that's the most popping off neighborhood in terms of like creativity. That's where, you know, all the cool bars and the cool music venues and that counterculture vibe. And they every year they have a big Halloween parade. When I was there a few years ago, it was right when Mad Max Fury Road was popping off in the theaters, and they had a parade, and so everybody was making like their floats, and somebody turned a float into that whole rig, that whole setup of you've seen that movie, right?
Yeah.
But the one truck or whatever it was that had the guitar player strapped to the grill, and then it had all the what do they call them, war boys on the drums
hanging. Yeah,
yeah. So they had like there was probably 6 or 8 war boys that looked great, looked just like them, you know, same body type, white paint, whatever, banging on these drums. Then they had the dude in that costume, the guitar player dude, and it had like very similar. I mean, I'm sure obviously not you know to the extent of the effects that they had in the movie, but like. Had a very similar vibe in terms of the engineering of the whole thing, in terms of this guy like was on bungee cords and he was like you know, I don't know, I can't explain it, but man, it was a pretty damn good replica of that whole rig setup in that movie. And they were playing a lot, you know, the drums were going, the guitar was going, and like it just felt like you were in the movie. Like it was really hell impressive to see in person. I've got a video of it somewhere that I'll post somewhere. I'll post it on our Instagram. But yeah, that was the most impressive. Like, holy shit, you guys, not only did you spend a lot of time coming up with this whole get up, but just the synchronized component to it, how they had like 10 or 12 people just all doing it together. It was great. It was beautiful.
That's I never do it myself, and then I see people on Halloween that go all out, and I'm like, I'm glad you did.
Yeah. Yep.
I wasn't going to spend the time, but I'm glad people do. Oh.
All right, man. Little
5 points. Well, let's try to get out of here. It's a Friday night. I'm going to go celebrate old Sean Jordan's birthday. What are you going to watch tonight, Dave?
I don't know. I got tomorrow's picked out. I got to see what's going on tonight. My list is too long. Here, well, hold on. I'll throw a couple at you real quick. Oh, wait.
Hit me with it.
Here we go. Hold on 1 second. I got my list. Pumpkinhead. That's one. Ooh, I've never seen. Return of the Living Dead, the 1985 version. That's one I've been wanting to see. And you know what? I've never seen either of the Rob Zombie Halloweens, one or two. And I know there's a lot of those are kind of polarizing from what I could tell. Some people love them, some people hate them, but I owe it to myself to check those out. So I don't know. Maybe I'll get to those tonight. Maybe Pumpkinhead and Return of the Living Dead and maybe at least one of those Halloweens. So I think that's what's going on tonight.
Oh, boy. All right. That's a big that's a big old plan that you got there.
Yeah, man. I'm home alone. Got nothing to do. No responsibilities or obligations. There's no telling what could happen.
Hell yeah. All right, man. I'm going to let you tear it up with them scary movies.
Rock and roll, buddy. Happy Halloween. And,
what are y'all doing? Happy Halloween.
What are you doing tomorrow night?
I'm probably trying to figure out how to get this candy out to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here, kicking it with Helen, and then, trying to chuck candy at kids. We can finally throw stuff at kids. It's okay.
Yeah. I was thinking about that, too. I don't know how... I was going to just sit a bowl of candy out there, but then... That's not really practicing good COVID safety. I think I'm just going to arrange, like on the stoop, on the stairs, just place candy on the stairs. Like just kind of like an Easter egg hunt. Just, there you go, just grab one, rather than thumbing through a big old bowl that everybody else has touched.
I don't know what the theory, like you go to the store and you buy stuff, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, the concept of like a communal bucket, maybe not so good right now. I don't know. I don't know what to do. And I also don't think I should just be opening the door every 3 minutes to strangers, you know, for my safety.
That is also, yeah.
I don't know what to do.
All right.
I'll figure it out.
Okay, yeah, well, we'll report. Well, this is it, man. We got Halloween. We got fun Halloween, and then we got whatever the fuck's going to happen next week. So yep. I don't know.
Ugh. Oh, boy. All right, buddy. I'm going to get out of here.
You have a happy Halloween. Enjoy your scary movies. Enjoy your time home alone.
You too, buddy. Patrons, thank you so much, by the way. Patrons, we appreciate you. Thanks for your support. And y'all be safe.
Yeah,
I'll catch you next week.